Let me cut in there. There are many answers, aren't there, people could give to that question. How do we see God's power today? Well, just flick your eyes back up to Ephesians 1, verse 19. Do you remember Paul is praying things to know, things that are going to change how we live? And he's just prayed that the Ephesians would know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. He wants the Ephesians, he wants all Christians to know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. So what is that incomparable power? What does that even mean? I mean, some people, they might say, well, this is signs and wonders. Other people might say, well, those are the special moments when you feel God closer to you than usual. Perhaps some people might say it's those spectacular weekends away when you've got amazing speakers. Maybe. Do we actually expect to see God's power today? I mean, perhaps you've grown up accustomed to not even thinking that way. I mean, our CU meetings, our churches, they can become, well, quite samey. They can seem quite weak. I mean, what seems weaker than a bunch of weak Christians gathering together to read an old dusty book? Can you imagine asking your friends? Can you imagine asking your classmates to join you doing that? We do the same thing week in, week out. And perhaps the only variety we get is when a guest speaker comes in. Is the Christian life meant to be that way? How do we see God's power today? See, for those in Paul's day, oh boy, there were certainly signs and wonders. As Paul rolled into Ephesus, you can read about that in Acts 19, there was incredible power. There were healing hankies. Yes, go check that. There was speaking foreign languages. There were mass conversions. There was even a resurrection or two. They were impressive looking things. But by the time Ephesians was written, those acts of power, well, they seem to have stopped. Powerful Paul has become prisoner Paul. And those hankies, well, the best thing for them is the washing machine. Has something gone wrong? Has Christianity just become a bit weak? You remember Paul's prayer? Paul's prayer is that every Christian sees God's power at work. That every means every Christian. That means you, that means me. Every Christian, what does Paul mean there? Well, fortunately for us, Paul explains what he means in his prayers. He prays something and then he explains what he means by it. So in Ephesians chapter 2, where we are this morning, we're going to see what Paul means, okay? And are you ready? The great truth of Ephesians chapter 2 is that we can all, every single one of us, see God's power today. Yes, today. Right now. In fact, we're going to see God's power this morning. This morning, we're going to see God's power at work. Naomi's looking very nervous about what I'm about to do. And when we see this, okay, when we see this, it is pretty amazing. You ready? Well, let's hold it in suspense for a minute. If you're a Christian here this morning, what is the biggest thing that changed in your life when you became a Christian? Just chat with the person next to you. What do you think is the biggest thing that changed about you when you became a Christian? There's lots of great stories that we can tell, aren't there? And one of the great things about a weekend like this is we can share them with one another. We're going to have a bit of a testimony tomorrow. This evening. But carry on having those conversations. It's great to hear. But just imagine the situation. Imagine you walked into church one Sunday and in the seats were people that you knew were dead. Certifiably dead, okay? But as you walk in, well, you notice they're breathing. You notice that they're moving. They're living. Wouldn't that be the most impressive thing that you've ever seen? And scariest. Don't worry, I'm talking about flesh here. Well, Paul says that is exactly what has happened. That is exactly how you see God's power today. See, our passage this morning tells us that we see God's power at work today every time someone crosses from death to life. Every time someone puts their trust in the Lord Jesus. In fact, go on, have a look around this room. Go on, have a look. It's not that awkward. I mean, you've been here a few hours now. It's not as awkward as it sounds. Look at that. Look at those people around you. Take a look at those people sitting there. See, the people you're looking at, they aren't dead, however much they might look like it this morning. They are alive. Each believer, every Christian in this room, has had God's power at work in them. See, as we look at each other, we're looking at God's power on display. This morning, each Christian in this room is a framed, put on display example of God's incomparably great power. Wow, who would have thought someone would say that about you this morning, eh? Even you forgot the deodorant, right? It changes what you think about yourself, doesn't it? It changes your identity. But how does that work? Well, we're going to have a look. First thing we need to see this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, is that we were dead. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 with me. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath. What do you make of Paul's claim there? Let's turn to the people next to you. What do you think of what Paul's saying there? I mean, it's quite drastic, isn't it? It's quite strong. You see, when Paul says dead, he really means dead, okay? He really means dead. He's taking that mirror and he's smashing it to bits. Now, that might strike you as a bit odd. I mean, I don't remember being dead, do you? As far as I'm aware, I'm alive and kicking. What do you mean dead, Paul? Well, let me just demonstrate what Paul is talking about with this bunch of flowers that I'm going to try and pass to my wife as I get home this evening. Don't tell her that I bought them for this rather than for her. But anyway, these flowers, they're lovely, aren't they? £5 co-op deal, perfect. There's something I'd happily display in my living room at home. In fact, I'll probably pop them in this vase here that I borrowed from my house. I'll get a text later, you watch. And I'll put them probably on my dining room table. But the thing about these flowers is that they are very much dead. They were dead the moment that they were detached from their roots. They were dead the moment that those shears were taken to them. They might look living to us. They might seem alive, but let me tell you, they are dead. And we fill our houses with them. I mean, how weird are we? Sorry to ruin flowers for you. But at the end of this weekend, we're going to see their deadness, okay? That death is going to be showing itself each moment these plants get closer and closer to my green wheelie bin in Hemel Hempstead. And before we became Christians, they stood up, that's good. Before they became Christians, that was the state that we were in too. We might have looked alive, we might have felt alive, but we were disconnected from the source of life. Perfect. Fell onto the floor. Just the right time if you're on the front row there. And so, like these flowers, we were dead. In fact, Paul wants us to realise that we are more dead than we realise. You see, we just don't realise how dead we were. It's not that we were staggering along in need of a jolt of electricity. It's not even that we were so close to death. Paul says, plain and simple, dead. We were dead. See, when someone nice becomes a Christian, we tend to think, oh, that's just a small moment. It's just another thing to add to their niceness chart. It's an add-on. It's a bonus. But Paul is saying here that that person has gone from a walking zombie to being a brand new creation. They've gone from being dead to being alive. They've gone from being God's enemy to being God's friend. That is what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 2. Just like these flowers down here, we were dead. We'd cut ourselves off from life itself. We were cut off from the root. How had we done that? We'll have a look at the end of verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. As in the ways that we ignored God's right rule. In the ways that we sin. That is when we say, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your ways. As we turned our back on our loving Creator, and we declared independency. Of course, declaring independency doesn't make it true, even if you do declare it. See, even though we declared independency, even though we thought we were in charge, the reality was we ended up following other leaders. Have a look at verse 2. You followed the ways of this world. We were listening to everyone else around us. We were living to impress others. We were like dead fish, just going with the flow. Or like the spider that fell into my shower this morning. Just heading towards the drain. Couldn't do a thing about it. See, as Christians, we find the world tempting. Before knowing Jesus, well, we simply went with the flow. We followed the world. We also followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That is, we followed Satan. I mean, that's striking, isn't it? Do we really believe that? Well, Paul says it's true. We lied, we cheated, we showed our allegiance to him. We accepted his lie of just do your own thing. Or your desires are good, just follow them. They're God-given. You see, Satan is the father of lies. And as we lie, as we live a lie, well, we're just following him. Just like a son follows his father, we were disobedient like Satan. And thirdly, verse 3, we gratified the cravings of our flesh. I mean, we all know how easy it is to blame the world around us. We might claim that Satan made me do it. But here, Paul is showing us that we followed our own flesh, the cravings, the desires of our bodies and our minds. I mean, when we all look down, deep down, when we're honest with ourselves, we know it's true, don't we? When I just can't control my anger. When I do something I know I shouldn't just because I want to. When we believe that we're above the very rules that we strictly enforce on others. Well, we're following our own flesh. It's an awkward thing to say, but my job is to say awkward things. The Bible is clear, and my job is to say what the Bible says. If you don't follow Jesus this morning, you might think that you're free. You might think you're independent, but you are following the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if we find that awkward, we'll just look what Paul says in verse 3. All of us once lived that way. Our nice neighbours, our dear grannies, even Paul, the law-abiding Jew. You, me, everyone who set foot on this earth, minus one, lived this way. I mean, for Paul to say that, it really levels the playing field, doesn't it? We were all zombies staggering through life. That's the human condition. It's why your nice neighbour still needs Jesus. It's why your classmates need Jesus. It's why we all, every single one of us, need Jesus. It's why going from being just a nice person to being a Christian is massive. And everything else too. Because end of verse 3, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Paul says that as a law-abiding Jewish man. We can say that as Gentile Brits. Everyone, and I mean everyone, was in this boat. Zombies walking through life, cut off from the life giver, like a spider stuck in my shower, heading towards the plug hole. You see, we were dead. So if that's true, if that is true, it's going to take something massive to turn that around, isn't it? Something miraculously powerful to take something dead and bring it back to life. And that is why we have a big but there in verse 4. That's our second big thing to see this morning. But God made us alive. See, what is it that changed things for us? Well, let me read verses 4 to 7. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now I've spoken for a bit. It's good for you to speak. What do you make of what we've just said and what Paul says there in those verses? Just chat with the people next to you. The big thing in this passage is that but, okay? But God took the dead, lifeless, zombie, shower to plug spider and made us alive. It takes amazing power to take a dead thing and make it alive. I mean, I tried to do it for a bee in my garden a little while ago. I failed. Poor bee. But it also takes remarkable love to do that. You see, every time that we trespassed, every time we sinned, we were saying something about God. We were saying that God isn't good. We were saying that God didn't love us. We were saying that God isn't the one true king over everything. Every time we sin, we make God out to be evil. Yeah, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God loved us. God, who is rich in mercy and love, even when we were his dead enemies, made alive, made us alive together in Christ. I mean, what love is that? He took us and he united us to his son. Just track the with language there in verse 5 and 6. If you want a tool for reading the Bible, repeated words is a good one. Let me highlight these words for us. Verses 5 and 6. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You see, it took extraordinary power. It took miraculous power to do that. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, that same power is in fact in each and every believer. So if you want to see God's power today, this morning, well, look around. A Christian is someone who is in Christ. You see, what happened to Christ happened to us. The connection to life has been restored. The path we were once on has been closed off. The plug has been covered. We've been redirected. We're now alive together with Christ. His life is our life. We are raised, we are resurrected with him, never to experience death ever again. We are seated with him right now in the heavenly places. Where he goes, we go. See, I remember this each time I eat an apple. Perhaps this is going to help you as well. See, like the seeds in an apple, where the apple goes, the seeds go too. Like the pips inside an apple, we are perfectly safe inside of Christ. There you go, tomorrow breakfast, when you eat your apple, remember that. Where Jesus goes, we go too. He has punched through death, and we follow him through there. See, when you get that, when you understand that, every worry disappears. Wanting to impress others, wanting to have your best life now. When you truly understand what this means, it changes everything. And everything else that you think is impressive, it's just child's play. A healing? Great. A sign? All right. Life from the dead? Well, that is cool. See, the fact the church exists today is God's power on display. Believers around the world trusting in the one true God and walking in his ways, taken from death to life by his grace. And that's going to continue forever. Have a look at verse 7. God's power is on display forever because of the kindness he's shown his people in Christ Jesus. When all is said and done, and eternity is in view, God's grace and his kindness will be framed, put on display, showing what he's done. We were dead, but God made us alive. So how has that all come about? I mean, we've had it all the way through this passage so far, but let's underline it. Let's make sure it's clear. It's come about because of God's mercy and grace. We were dead, but God made us alive because of his mercy and grace. Have a look at verses 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you see that? It's all because of God's mercy and grace that this is true. For it is by grace. That's not something you earn. It's not something you do for yourself. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. See, it's purely of God. The moment that someone becomes a Christian, the moment someone has faith, they are saved. A body on the bottom of the ocean can't claim anything for itself. It can't even grab the life ring itself. See, if we still think that's possible, we haven't understood just how dead we were. No, Paul underlines it, he highlights it, he circles it, that it is God who has done it. Have a look at verse 8 again. This is so clear. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one can boast. This is, someone wants to boast that they are saved by their works. Well, they missed the point. A A dead person, it can't resurrect itself. Try using one of those CPR machines when you're dead. A body under the water, it can't throw a life ring to itself. It takes far more than that. It takes miraculous. It takes resurrection power. It takes the very power that raised Christ from the dead. It takes power that makes the national grid look like a sparkler. That power, it only comes from God itself. I mean, that's immensely humbling, isn't it? And so since we've been brought back to life, since we are new creations, that changes our identity. It changes who we are. We live differently. Do you see how Paul explains that, verse 10? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's handiwork. That's what you are this morning, if you're a Christian here. You are God's handiwork. God is demonstrating his power through you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, jumping forwards, says this. God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God is making himself known, making his power known in the spiritual realm through us, through his church. Isn't that awesome? And as Ephesians continues, as we're going to see in these next two talks, Paul outlines what that's going to look like. That life, that resurrection, new creation life at work in God's people. It's going to look like putting off the old way and walking in the new way. It's going to look like husbands and wives united in marriage. It's going to look like children obeying their parents. It's going to look like walking wholeheartedly for the Lord. It looks like treating others well. As we're saying this weekend, it looks like living differently. Everything that our world around us wishes society would be like. It's possible. It all takes miraculous resurrection power to bring it about. All areas of life affected by what God has done, truly being alive, truly living the way that God intended us to be, being who God designed us to be right from the beginning. That, Paul says, is a powerful display. That is how God shows his power at work today. As we live out our lives, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Because of how secure our position is, because of the grace that God has shown, we now live our lives for him. It changes our walk, it changes our lives. We've been given life, and if that's true, well, we want to live God's way. We no longer need to listen to the world around us. We no longer have to listen to the devil. We no longer have to go with the flow. Instead, we're freed from all that so we can confidently walk God's way as new creations. If you want to summarize these 10 verses, we were dead, but God made us alive because of his mercy and grace. Isn't that amazing? Taking a dead person, I mean a really dead person, cut off from the roots person, making them alive, joining them to Jesus, all because of his mercy and grace. Nothing in us, ourselves. That is impressive. That is real power. I mean, if you think anything else this morning is more powerful than that, well, take another look. Really think hard about this morning. Every person who is trusting in the Lord Jesus is that power on display. If that is you, you are a walking, a living demonstration of God's power right here, right now. Amazing, eh? Even if you forgot deodorant. So there's the answer to the question. How do we see God's power today? Well, when we understand just what's happened in the lives of believers, we can understand, we can answer that question. How do we see God's power today? Simply look around you. Go on, take a moment, do it now. You've done it once, it's not going to be as awkward this time. I mean, everyone else is doing it now. Great. Every time you see another Christian, you've seen someone who has crossed from death to life. Every time you see another Christian, you're seeing resurrection power at work. We need to have that mirror smashed. We need to see reality for what it really is. Can I pray that God would open our eyes and that we'd see that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you took dead, lifeless people, people cut off from you, and you made them alive in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray this morning that we would smash the mirror of seeing that as a small thing, of a nice add-on to a nice person's life. Father, help us to see just how amazing, how transformative that is. Help us to see that that is your power on display today. Father, we pray that as we see and realise that, it would change our identity. We'd find our identity in Christ because of what he's done for us. Father, help us all to grasp that more and more over this weekend and in the years to come as well. Amen. It'd be great to discuss some of that. There's some questions on the screen there. And then once we've discussed that, I think the band is going to come back up. Great. Let's take a few minutes to discuss this.